Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1, and we'll read one verse of Scripture there, verse number 10. And we want to once again welcome those who are listening by HLE Radio and those who are having church with us on Facebook, and pray the Lord will bless you this morning from His Word, and pray that you have had a great time of worship with us this morning. From 2 Corinthians, verse 1, chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death. You know who that is. And doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Powerful verse. Powerful verse. Now I want to talk about that deliverance for a few minutes this morning, because it's so important not to realize this, not to realize how important it is to understand God's deliverance. Makes us less Christian than we should be, because it's so important. That word deliverance is used in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, in many different situations and many different circumstances. And it's always in reference to restoring something, or to give something, or to save something, or to rescue something. That's how important it is that we understand God is our deliverer. Jesus saved us and delivered us from a life of sin. But deliverance goes a lot further than that. After we are saved, we need to understand how God delivers us. It's important, because Satan is every day trying to afflict God's people. And he comes against God's people with greater force than he does anything else. Because his purpose, one purpose for him, is to destroy God's people. If he destroys God's people, he's won the victory. That means he's greater than God. And we know that's not true. In the name of Jesus, we have all power over Satan. And we need to understand that there is power of deliverance in that. This one word in many forms, that is like to deliver him or deliver us or deliver them or deliver me or deliver thee or to deliver you. Many times in many different ways, deliverance comes to us. Even from the individual person to many people of many nations. In one form or another, it's used in the Word of God, connecting us to what God can do. In Cruden's Concordance, if anyone would have one of those, this word deliverance takes up two full pages. Two full pages of where he gives Scripture where deliverance is used. Oh, that makes that pretty important to me. Huh? Very important that we understand it. And now in all of the references that we have to deliverance, there's only one who is called the deliverer. His name is Jesus. All that deliverance that we read about, understanding now that in all of that, there's only one deliverer. His name is Jesus. None other can deliver you or me from the circumstance and the situation we're in but Jesus. And that requires a prayer of faith that's anchored in what Christ has done at Calvary for you and for me. All the deliverance we need is found in an old rugged cross, the blood stains of Jesus Christ, and the power that he has in his resurrection. Because he's not on a cross today. We use the cross as a reference to what he has done, his finished work. We're not talking about the wooden beams that where he hung and died and was crucified for us. So in this scripture, this one small verse, we have a past of deliverance, we have the presence of deliverance, and we have the future of deliverance. We're covered. We're covered. Deliverance is ours. It's here, present with us. We have a proof of it in the Old Testament. We have a promise of it in the New Testament. And we have the presence of it now. He came to deliver us. Not just to save us. Thank God that's the greatest thing that ever happened to anyone was to get saved. But he didn't forsake us after that. He left us with power in his name. And he left us a deliverance that we can have because of the blood of Jesus. And we sung about it this morning. In this one verse, verse number 10, we have this plan in total view that we can see. Who delivered us in the past? Jesus in the past. Who does deliver us in the present? Jesus. No one else can. And who will yet deliver us in the future? What a promise we have from God. That he is here with us presently, and he's going to be with us in the future. Amen. When the enemy comes against us in such a strong force that some people who are Christian are going to give up. But we can't, as believers, born again believers, we can't give up. We must never give up. We must hold to this promise. Lord, I am delivered. Present time. I'm not going to be delivered back then. I'm going to be delivered in the future, but I need deliverance now. And he is a now God. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. That means he's with us today. And he is prepared to deliver anyone that comes to him by faith. Now we are always praying for healing for people. And we pray for that in the will of God. I say, well, why do you say that? I say that because in the will of God, there's healing. In the will of God, there's deliverance. In the will of God, there's joy and peace. In the will of God, there is a life worth living in the world and the will of God. So inside that will we pray. And he said, I'll give you the desire of my heart. Your heart has a desire for Christ. He will give you that desire. Christian sung about it just a while ago. If you desire to serve him, he'll fulfill that desire in your life. That's his promise to us. And he can make that promise and keep it as long as we are in Christ, crucified with him. Delivered, amen. Delivered. You see, that's God's promise. God never makes a promise and then reneges on it. We do. And we make excuses why. Oh, yeah. Might as well say amen. You're under grace. Praise the Lord. You can repent. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we make promises with good intentions. Yeah, we don't just promise something. Somebody asks us something and we say, we're going to do that and we mean to do it. But circumstances and situations sometimes keep us from fulfilling that promise. But God is not limited to circumstances or situations. When he makes a promise, there is nothing that can stand in the way of him fulfilling that promise. Amen. And he works his will in that promise. Oh, we sometimes are selfish with our prayers. That's us. That's human beings. We want everybody to stay here and be a part of us, huh? We don't want family members leaving. We don't want friends leaving. That breaks our heart, and we don't want. So we pray for them to stay and stay and stay and stay. Huh? That's what we do. And if you don't do that, something's wrong with you. Your compassion has gone. It's left. But you see, we pray many times in God's will, and God's will turns out not to be exactly what we wanted. But you see, just because it's not the way we wanted it, we can't give up our faith. We can't turn away from God. We can't turn away from our Lord. We have to continue in faith, the Bible says, walking in faith, believing God. Jesus was preaching to a multitude of people one day, and none of them believed what he said, so they all turned and walked away. And he turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave me also?" And I like what they said. They said, "Lord, if we leave you, where can we go?" No, don't get away from Jesus. Don't get away from his promises, because they will be coming true in your life. And when he takes us to glory, that's a part of his great promises. We have to understand that in God's promises, we don't always have it the way we want it. We have it the way he wants it. It's his promise. Huh? Yeah, he will deliver us from the snare of the enemy. But our faith has to be anchored in the right place, in Jesus Christ. God has promised deliverance for the believer. So what did God deliver us from? Oh, everybody's mind is spinning now. Remembering, huh? But listen what Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says. It says, "We have been delivered from the power of darkness." We were all in darkness until we saw the light. Oh, we were all, now we know that because the scripture tells us that, even though we don't like to hear it. He says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were walking in darkness, didn't know the light, couldn't find the light. But Jesus saved us, and now we're walking in the light. And he expects us to be light reflectors. Yeah, you're the light of the world, huh? Why? Because you're delivered. You're different. And if you're not different, then something's wrong with you. Because he said we were peculiar people. Some of your friends think you're peculiar. And they're right. Because if you're not peculiar, then you're not living like God wants you to live. He says you're peculiar people, and the reason you're peculiar is because you have royal blood flowing in your veins. You're not the same as everybody else. You have royal blood flowing in you. That's the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us and saved us and delivered us from the darkness of our past. You see, the darkness is the kingdom of Satan. The light is the kingdom of God. That's why he always talks about the light in his word. Because the light is where Christ is. Even in the new heaven and the new earth, he will be the light. There'll be no need for the sun or the moon or the stars or the round earth or the flat earth. I'm not going to go there. Because there are people that believe the earth is flat. I've had some questions about that. Nobody can answer it except their opinion of it. Huh? Well, let me go on here. There, in that kingdom of darkness, Satan rules and reigns over the multitude of millions and millions and millions of people who are not saved. Our brother mentioned the Super Bowl. Millions of people around this world by television or satellite or telephone or something will watch. They won't be in church this morning because they're celebrating up until the time for the Super Bowl. And when the Super Bowl is over, they'll be in depression because their team didn't win or they lost their bet. Huh? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. People turn out for all of the great things this world has to offer. The kingdom of darkness rules over that. You say, well, there's some Christians that are going to go to the Super Bowl. I know that. But only the rich Christians will go. And they probably never pay tithes anyway. Glory to God. Hey, it's amazing what a man will say under the anointing. Oh, yes, in that condition, they stumble along in darkness. Spiritual darkness. Their spirit has no light. They can find no light until they get delivered from the power of darkness. That's what deliverance is. If you were to tell them about the darkness they're in, they'd form a vigilante group and hang you. Get mad at you, get angry at you. Why? Because they don't know they're in darkness. They don't know, and they don't want to know. But when you have a desire in your heart, when the Holy Spirit convicts you as He did all of us, the only way we could get saved was that the conviction of the Holy Spirit brought us to Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross. And in His glory would shine upon us. And I believe that we who are born again Christians and also true patriots to this America that we love are now witnessing our nation stumbling along in spiritual darkness. There's a famine in this land. There's a famine of the Word of God. Yeah, a famine. America is spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. The few Christians left in leadership have their voice silenced. They can't speak out. They can't say anything about God or about Jesus. Now, they can talk about God. They can talk about God because there's so many generic gods, you don't know who they're talking about. But there's only one Jesus. They dare not mention that name. Yeah. Immorality rules the day. And many who were of the elect, we might say, have been deceived, and now they've gone into darkness. We see it every day. Even now, as we speak, the blind is leading the blind. And they're headed for a burning eternal hell. Say, well, preacher, you preach like that, your church will never be full. Well, it'll never be full. Because one day I have to stand before the bar. And I don't want to hear Jesus say, you didn't tell him about hell. No. There'll be enough of them doing that. I want to hear him say, well done, faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. But God has made a way from Genesis to the cross. And from the cross to his second coming, he has made a way. We sing the song a lot, Jesus is the way maker. He'll make a way. Deliverance by the finished work of Jesus Christ on an old wooden beam called a cross. That was God's plan for the way of escape from the darkness of this world. From the very beginning until the end. There'll be no other way but Jesus Christ. And many will not claim that. Today we are delivered because there's an empty cross. Don't give me a cross with Jesus on it. Because I've been delivered. Give me an empty cross, a symbol that he is gone. The grave, the stone's been rolled back and he's gone. Glory to God. To sit at his Father's side and to make intercession for you and for me. Delivered from wrath. Thessalonians, the first chapter, the 10th verse, talks about another deliverance for the believer. Listen. Delivered from the wrath to come. Now there's a promise you need to embrace. Because so many people are going to fall into the deception of the enemy. The wrath of God is yet to come. Oh, we see a little bit of the judgment right here on this earth. The judgment means that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So you reap the judgment when you sow a bad seed. But one day the wrath of God is coming. But he says, we have been delivered from the wrath of God. That means that when this thing is over and the Antichrist takes over, and this world, as the Bible describes it, tribulation of this world will be as no other time in this world. The worst time for man on earth will be there. But we won't. Not if you believe that God is coming for you, that Jesus is coming, and the rapture is soon to take place. And there's a lot of people that argue about that. I've had even preachers tell me they don't believe in the rapture of the church. And I say, that's okay. That's okay. That don't stop me from going. Your unbelief is not going to hinder me. Because I have a promise. I have a promise in the first chapter in the 10th verse of Thessalonians. He will deliver us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. The future promise of deliverance from what this world has to go through. And people are wandering around in darkness, stumbling around in darkness, and not realizing that God has in times past and even in present times has poured out some of his judgment upon mankind. And some would call it wrath. That's if you want to, but the wrath to come is not here yet. That's what the Bible says. Judgment comes in many different forms and many different ways. But that is a reflection of your actions, your works, your deeds that are done now. See, a punishment for sin in the respect that sin has a price to pay. The wages of sin is death. It's the same kind of death that Adam and Eve faced. The devil said, oh, you will not surely die. But you see the cunningness of that serpent. Now, some people call him a snake, and it may be. But the Bible calls him a beast. Said he, of all the beasts, he was the most cunning. He was the one that was able to deceive them. Now, Satan himself was in that beast. And the beast could have been a snake or whatever it was. And we kind of think it is because of the bruising of the heel and all this other stuff. But the Bible calls him a beast. And in that respect, the beast is still here. And Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden. But they lived to walk out of it. Well, what was the death? Spiritual death. Oh, they did die later. We're all going to die later. Sooner or later, and I hope it's later than sooner. But it's coming. And Adam and Eve died because of their sin. They died spiritually. Now, God said we, before we were saved, were dead in our trespasses and sins, just like they were. And we haven't died yet. So that means that if we stay in that death of spiritual darkness, then we lose our spiritual relationship with the Lord, and we lose our spiritual place that God has for us. He said, I'll take your name out of the book of life. That's a sad thing to say. And the wrath that we are delivered from is in the book of Revelations 16 and 19. It is called the fierceness. Oh, it's not just called wrath. It's called the fierceness of his wrath. Oh, I don't want to even think about that. I don't want to imagine that I'd have to go through the fierceness of God's wrath. Some people don't care because they don't know. But man is judged by God in his lifestyle and inserted in his word a universal law that governs the actions of mankind, and we just mentioned it. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Universal law for the just and the unjust. The deeds that you do are going to come back to you, either in a form of that which is evil, because that's what you sowed, or in the form of the blessings of God, which is good when you sow the good seed. God has also outlined just how this law works. He said, if you sow to your flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. In that law, there's a judgment and a deliverance. So the entire message does not question the one who is able to deliver, but rather it questions the one who needs deliverance. You and me. Not a question of his power, but a question of our wanting to be delivered. It's a false doctrine. Jesus said, don't be deceived by false doctrines. Don't be deceived. You see, if a pastor is deceived, he passes deception on to his congregation. So you have to be careful of what you listen to on television or radio or what church you go to. There's a lot of people in church today, but they're not there. They're sitting there. And today they're sitting there wondering about the Super Bowl. Next Sunday, they'll be sitting there wondering about something else. Come on. It's not just being sitting in church, it's being in church.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.